Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you. Noon hour coming up in 25 minutes. Chris Goforth, live from Hoover, Alabama. Day three of SEC Media Days. That means Nick Saban Day, Randy. Have you seen any of the pictures?
No, I mean, we got the SEC Network on right now, but you see how when he shows up, it's just different.
It's just a little bit of a different vibe when Nick Saban gets there. You played for Nick Saban.
I did.
When's the last time you talked to Nick Saban?
Been a while.
Really?
Yeah. Last time I talked to him, I can't even remember. It's been so long.
What's the first thing he would say to you if you bumped into him these days?
Oh, he'd say something slick. He'd say something slick.
All right, we'll get the
something real slick.
Big deal, small deal, no deal coming up at 12:40 as well. But as we always do to kick off the noon hour, the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, the most important audio in the world, brought to you by Braxton Automotive. For more info, go to BraxtonAutomotive.com.
Told him it was, still a little, sensitive and... They just said they really wanted to make sure it would just knock it out completely. So we'll see where it lines up, but especially with it, being something that came up so often in the past, we just want to make sure it's 100% done with and don't even have to worry about it lingering at all.
Sad, depressed Max Fried.
Well, he has a reason to be sad right now.
He does. He does. He's actually, for the first time all year, sad for a good reason.
Yeah,
he's out for 10 days. He's on the aisle. Now, he's sad after he goes 7 innings of shutout baseball. He sounds like somebody kicked his dog. We need to find a way to make Max Fried happier.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they win a World Series, Max Fried would be happy.
You think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. If he does that, he'll be happy. Real happy.
He'd have to be careful, though, putting that ring on because he's got blisters all over his hands. That's why Max Fried's out right now for 10 days.
Really?
I don't know. It wasn't so bad.
No, that was pretty bad.
That was not.
That was pretty bad.
That wasn't the worst joke I've told.
No, definitely not. No, definitely not. But it's going in that box over there though. Bad Andy jokes. But
the box is full.
But here's the crazy thing about it is like, who's next? Because he's went down. We just saw what Bryce did yesterday. He got dumped. But
Bryce Wilson was not good yesterday.
He was not good yesterday. I mean, it's funny listening to Chip Carey talking about some. Just give us some innings.
Yeah, like, just keep going.
Just keep going or something. But now who's next? Who's the next one of those?
Gossman's coming back.
Gossman pitched well yesterday.
Yeah, Gossman's coming back.
Seven innings, six hits, 10 Ks, 104 pitches. So, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we find out Kevin Gossman gets recalled today or tomorrow, honestly. Because they have to do something.
Yeah.
Max Fried's on the 10-day IL.
That's what I'm saying. Are you going to bring up one of these?
Bryce Wilson doesn't get another shot.
You're
going to
bring
me
up Kyle. What's the good dude?
Kyle Wright.
Kyle Wright to come get bludgeoned.
He's been rough.
You know what I'm saying? So there's nobody else, really. Do you give Nuke another
start? What
about
Ian Anderson? Why isn't he ready yet?
That's a great question.
You know Let's
why?
Do it.
You know why?
Because why not?
He's a young pitcher. You can't mess with his psyche.
Well, all these guys' psyches have been messed with, and they're young.
Exactly, and they're looking at it. We can't mess with this kid, so we'll keep him down.
Well, why is his psyche more valuable than the rest of their psyches?
We'll keep this kid down for three more years, all right?
3 more years. By then, his psyche will be great.
He'll be great. He'll be ready to roll.
Come on, let's do it.
I'm with you. But
What's the point of waiting?
I mean, because here's the thing. The more you hang on to these young pitchers, the less and less their trade value is right now. Because other teams are watching them get bludgeoned.
I know.
Yeah.
You know what? That is really funny. Like, their trade value is higher when there's an unknown.
Yes.
Than it is. Yes. And I guess that makes sense if you see them and they're bad. But it's like door number three. Do you want the car? Do you want the vacation? Or do you want what's behind door number three?
I'll
take door number three. It could be anything.
It could be anything. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you trying to move on for these guys. I saw Paul Crane. I need to look this up because he had a tweet about your squad. The Mariners interested in Camargo.
Am told. The Mariners are interested in Camargo. And the name that was in return was a guy named Roenis Elias.
And he is who?
He's a left-handed pitcher.
Is he a starting pitcher?
He has been.
Okay.
He's also been a bullpen pitcher at other times.
Uh-huh.
He's highly average. He is a very average left-handed pitcher.
So I'm not giving up Camargo for no average.
I believe the Mariners traded him to Boston for something a couple years ago, and then Boston cut him, and the Mariners brought him back.
I'm not trading Camargo for that.
But they got Anthony Swarzak from the Mariners, and he's been amazing.
He's been pretty good, but I'm not giving. Would you have given up? And I'm not talking about what you've seen now from Swarzak.
No,
would you have given up? Okay,
I would have not given up Johan Camargo for Swarzak. Who'd they give up? They gave up Vizcaino and another bullpen.
Yeah, they got Vizcaino
to get Swarzak. They did. Vizcaino's gone. Huh? Johnny Venters, is that right? Or do they cut?
Is it Venters?
I don't know. But we got 2 weeks, Randy. Deadlines spurn action. Isn't that what they do?
Yes.
Hopefully this one
does.
We're
saying it right, right?
I don't know. we're also quoting Adam Schefter, so who cares?
Who cares?
Not like if you get that wrong, it's not like you misquoted William Shakespeare or something like that. You know what I mean?
It does say that. Spurn action. Okay.
Okay, good. We got it right.
You know, for us, you know, we look at those games where we didn't quite get over the hump in the past, and we want to do more this summer. And I think it starts with, you know, what we do in the off season, in the summer, how do we prepare, how we condition, how we attack camp, you know, when it comes, and really taking every single game like it's our last, and trying to go 1-0 every single week.
That's Jake Fromm. I mean, he's getting his Kirby on in front of the media. That's great.
He's just getting his quarterback on. He's getting his leader of the team, face of the franchise on.
I don't have a single issue with anything that he just said. I'm just saying he sounds a lot like his head coach, which is good.
Yeah.
That means the message. I always like when the Falcons sound like Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
That means the message is being received.
Yeah.
At least you're hearing
what he's saying.
And then you're regurgitating it. I like that. I like what Jake Fromm said there. Do more. That's the slogan for the season.
Do more. Hey, whatever, man.
Because they couldn't use the slogan, don't blow it against Alabama in the fourth quarter again. That wouldn't have been a good slogan.
Yeah, I mean, whatever works, man. If do more is working for this squad, then let them do more. You know what I'm saying? Go do an extra rep. Run you an extra gas. Whatever. Is that going to help you beat Alabama?
I mean, it might.
It might. You know, that's what I'm saying.
It's not going to hurt.
Because when we do beat Bama, you know what's going to happen is everybody's going to come back to that slogan right there. When they're sitting up there holding up that SEC thing, and everybody's we said we were going to do more back in April, and you know how that used to go.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Slogans work off if you win. If you lose, they're like, well, what the hell? You must not did enough.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I'm
saying? You should have done more than what you did.
Yeah,
you're right, but it doesn't matter. Perception is reality.
It is.
Right?
It is.
If the slogan do more allows you to dig deeper and do more, good. And if you win the national championship and you give that credit, good. Who cares? Who cares what you give credit to when you win a national championship? You got a trophy.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
The trophy in the trophy case.
That's what
needs to happen right now. I mean, the Falcons and UGA are in a very similar position. They have the talent. They've been close. It's time to win a championship.
Yep.
Just win a title this year. That's it. There was a very interesting article written about Jake Fromm yesterday, Yahoo Sports. I think it was Pete Thamel that wrote the article.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of more of a profile than anything, like for people that maybe don't know very much about Jake Fromm. We obviously know more about him being closer to it. I just like Jake Fromm.
He's a cool cat.
He just seems like a guy that'd be fun to go fishing
with.
He's
a cool cat, country boy, likes outdoors, hunt, fish, all that stuff. But yeah, he's a country boy, but he's a hell of a competitor, hell of a leader, and his teammates respect him. And we'll run through a wall.
They had a really funny word for a big bass. Like when you catch a big bass. Oh, I wish I could. Here it is. I'm going to find it because it made me chuckle when I was reading the article.
What is it?
It is a slaunch donkey.
Oh, yeah.
You knew that word?
Yeah.
Wow, you know how country you have to be to know that word?
Well, do you know how country I am?
I know.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes it's just,
I get reminded. But I'm cultured.
A slaunch.
Redneck Randy.
A slaunch donkey.
I'm country.
When's the last time you caught yourself a slaunch donkey?
Man, it's been a while. It's been a while since I've been out fishing, man. I need to go.
I would love to go.
I need to go fishing.
I haven't gone since I moved here. I love to fish.
Oh, man, dude. But see,
I
like deep sea fishing. See, you catch the donkeys, you catch those in the streams and the lakes and stuff. You can't go out to the ocean to catch them like that.
Yeah, slaunch donkey does sound like a euphemism.
Yeah.
Like a double entendre. And I'm sure it's been used that way.
Of course it has been.
At other times. Man, I need to go out and catch me a slaunch donkey.
Yeah, man, ain't nothing like it. But see, are you a guy who throws a fish back?
The depends on what we're fishing for.
I ain't putting no fish back.
It depends on how big it is, too.
I ain't putting no fish back,
it depends on.
Man,
it depends
please,
on.
Everything, you can, everything tastes
taking
good.
Home a little tiny trout?
Everything
come on
tastes
now
good in grease.
That thing isn't, it's not even born yet. You're going to take it home and eat it? It's just going to be bones.
Scallop and fry them up. Throw them on a piece of bread.
Randy's eating
hot sauce.
Randy's eating fried goldfish at
hey,
the
man
house.
Hey, they better, if I get hungry enough.
So I love the competition we've got at the offensive line. I wouldn't say that you ever have enough, because we learned last year that you can have injuries at that position probably a higher rate than any other, with the offensive linemen getting tangled up and with the war in the trenches. So we had to use that to help us.
Kirby Smart talking about the offensive line, one of the best in the country. Many consider it to be the best in the country. I can't wait to see what they look like this season.
They're going to be awesome, man. You got Pittman, who might be the best O-line coach in all of ball.
Yeah, Fromm actually said he's the real MVP.
You got Andrew Thomas. He's going to be a first-round pick. You look over there at Isaiah Wilson. He's probably going to be a first-round pick, depending on how he played this year. See, I light up when I talk about
it. It's big exciting.
Line. Cade Mays, big kid out of Tennessee. Then they went and got another. I mean, these cats.
They've got guys that won't start.
Solomon Kinley, Trey Hill, Ben Cleveland.
They've got guys that won't start that are going to be NFL players.
They got some dudes.
Yeah, they do.
They got some dudes.
Yeah, it's going to be very fun to watch them. I mean, whether it's Fromm throwing the ball all over the yard, whether it's Swift running the ball, I don't know. But that offense is going to be crazy. I can't wait to see those offensive linemen. What's the first day? Is it August 31st? Is that the first game?
Yeah.
Vanderbilt?
Yeah, at Vandy, yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
That might be a nice road trip.
That's what we did 2 years ago. Yeah, the Vandy game fell on my wife's birthday weekend. We went up to Nashville, watched Nick Chubb score, I think, three or four touchdowns in the first half, and we were back drinking by halftime.
Dude.
there was an Oktoberfest going on the other side
hell
of town.
Yeah.
Georgia was up 41-0 or something at halftime. We got out of there and went and got some Oktoberfest beers. That was great. That was a good weekend.
I just practiced before the majors. Regular tournaments, I don't practice. If you see me on TV, that's when I play golf.
My guy. God. That damn Koepka, man.
What a
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a bro.
Yeah.
When you see me on TV, that's when I play golf.
I mean, damn.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Practices for majors. And look, Todd Lewis told us earlier, our buddy from the Golf Channel, who joined us live from Northern Ireland, where, by the way, it is absolutely a monsoon right now. We've got the Golf Channel on one TV and the SEC Network on the other TV.
It's going in.
If Brooks Koepka comes in first or second this week, and you add just the numbers of his finishes, first, second, that would be the lowest number. That would be six.
Right.
That would be the lowest number in major championship history.
He's that dude.
That's crazy.
He's that dude, and he knows he's that dude. He know he got a little cocky, arrogant about
him. He still doesn't feel like that dude to me, though.
Well, no. He's not that dude, but I'm talking about playing-wise? Oh, he's that dude on that course. Now, you're talking about, like, as far as status and stature and stuff? No, he ain't that dude. But
he's not even the betting favorite.
Who you going to bet on, him or damn Rory?
Rory.
You'll bet on Rory before you bet on Koepka.
Because I don't like Brooks Koepka.
So you're going to bet
on Rory? I don't like him.
You want to bet a bottle lick on that?
How about a 12-pack of Amstel Light? You know, it's the beer drinker's light beer, Andy. Yeah, I'll bet a bottle of liquor on that. That's fine. How what are we talking about here?
That's a great point, Brian. Ash should say something about Bruce Koepka?
Nah, I don't think Ashley doesn't even watch golf with me, so I don't think she has any feelings towards Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, we'll put a bottle of lick on it.
Adam Scott, on the other hand, and Ricky Fowler, those guys are both problems at my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Adam Scott and Ricky Fowler.
Because one of her best friends, Ashley, one of her best friends from high school is a golf coach. He coaches at USF. So he knows Ricky Fowler a little bit, played with him in college and stuff. So she's seen Ricky and kind of knows him, and he's a really nice guy and all that.
Uh-huh.
Get out of here. Who the hell's Ricky?
Who the hell is Ricky?
Texted Brooksy, you know, congratulations on another great finish. I mean what he's done in the last four major championships and has been just unbelievable. He'd be so consistent, so solid, so he's been in contention to win each and every major championship. And I said, hey, dude, you know, you mind if I tag along and play a practice round? I've heard nothing.
Tiger sounded about as tired as I did on the Amy Lawrence show this morning.
Tiger is chilling, man.
He's kind of worn out.
Tiger is getting his chill on, man. And here's the thing. With Todd Lewis, that is, from the Golf Channel, who was on with us earlier, He was like, man, Tiger like he ain't got it.
Yeah, he made it sound like Tiger and Phil might both be going home on Friday afternoon.
Just early. Hey, Phil, let me jump on the jet with you.
Right.
Just drop me off down in Jupiter.
Phil Mickelson lost 15 pounds in 10 days. Did you hear what Todd Lewis said he was doing?
He was
drinking water and coffee and that's it.
Yeah.
Just, like, that's not a good way to do it.
No, it's not, brother.
I mean, it's effective, I
guess.
What's
the other one that
just taking
that
dumps and losing weight?
Cayenne pepper and water, right? Isn't that the mixture?
Yeah.
And lemon. Yeah.
And maybe honey?
And honey or something right there, right?
And that's basically the same thing with a whole bunch of coffee. It's just going to make you go to the bathroom.
Yep.
It's a diuretic. Yeah. It's going to clean you out that way. That's gross.
I can't do that. I got to have some kind of food in me.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Some got something in me.
A couple salads.
Yeah, I just had
a couple jaws.
I just had some tuna.
I got a kale salad for lunch.
Yeah, just had some tuna.
You can go to the gym after the show. That's another way to lose weight. Yeah,
some tuna cups.
I feel, in my opinion, I'm the best one. And that's, you know, not just because I'm a confident person, but I actually believe
best
that.
Best what?
I feel like my teammates believe in me, too, and Coach Fisher does. So.
Oh.
Like I just told him, I can come out here and say that in front of the media, but I got to go out and prove it on the field. So, obviously, the SEC is, you know, has a lot of great quarterbacks, and they've all proven it, you know, throughout the years. But I feel like I'm the best.
So, if you didn't have the context clues, knowing that he was talking about Coach Jimbo Fisher, meaning that he was the quarterback at Texas A&M, wouldn't think of Kellen Mond and best quarterback in the SEC in the same sentence.
Would not think that.
Not something that I would have thought that I'd be saying on the radio today.
Would not thought that, but yeah, he played well last year.
He's good.
He was great in He was great in the Clemson game.
Yeah.
And he's his second year with Jimbo. Who knows? I still don't think he's second best quarterback.
He's not.
But,
no.
Did you remember?
He's the third. The battle is for third.
Third, yeah. Between him and
Bentley. We heard.
Bentley,
Goforth told us Jake Bentley's playing well.
Even though I don't like him, and he's a kid, so I can't put him on the punchable face list. Felipe Franks.
When he graduates,
he's going on that list.
He graduates to the punchable face list.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chris Goforth, he's going to join us next, live from SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama, for our continued exclusive coverage of SEC Media Days right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you live in the Kia studios. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to big deal, small deal, no deal, back to the trending topics of the day at 1 o'clock as well. But joining us now, day three of SEC Media Days, live from Hoover, Alabama. My screen, it worked, good. It wasn't working for a minute, it froze up on me. But you know what, we're good to go. Chris Goforth joining us from SEC Media Days. How are you, Chris?
Good, guys. How are y'all?
What's going on, Chris?
Doing great. Obviously, following along today and seeing that Nick Saban has arrived, and it seems like the circus is there as well. It just seems like it's a little bit of a different vibe when Saban shows up. Is that right?
No, it's different. I mean, this the whole thing gets kicked up a notch. I mean, it doesn't matter what day it is. When you come to the Winfrey, into the lobby, there's going to be fans from every school that's represented. Yesterday, I would say there was probably 15 to 20, if not more, Georgia fans here to see Kirby Smart and his crew come through. LSU has their people, but, you know, for years, Birmingham has kind of been the stronghold of Alabama football, especially within this state. You know, they used to play half their home games here at one time at Legion Field here in Birmingham. So this has always been very much a stronghold for Alabama rather, within this state, and it shows itself every year during SEC Media Days when Alabama comes to town. And I don't remember it always being this way, guys, to this extent. This has been something that has really started since Nick Saban came and since the winning returned. I remember when Saban, it was his first year, Tommy Tuberville was still coaching at Auburn, and Tuberville literally walked up and down Radio Row. There was probably, 30 radio stations here that year. He walked up and down Radio Row. He did an interview with all 30 stations. I mean, he went and would talk to basically anybody that would talk to him. I think Tuberville knew from the get-go exactly what he was going to be up against with Nick Saban and the PR battle the public relations tsunami that can ensue with Nick Saban. And so, yeah, like I say, I don't always remember it being this crazy until with Alabama before Nick Saban got here. I mean, there was – listen, I was listening to Chad Morris speak to the media in the main room, and there was probably a couple of hundred media people in there. They had the doors open, and you could hear the fans down in the lobby chanting Roll Tide while Chad Morris is talking about his Arkansas Razorbacks on the – you know, on the what you would consider to be the main stage here at Hoover.
So disrespectful.
I mean, that sucks.
So disrespectful.
I'm just trying to talk about Arkansas, yeah. Right? So
hey, Chris, of course, a lot of clips, a lot of quotes are coming out already. And I saw an interesting one about an hour ago from Dylan Moses, the outstanding linebacker down there in Alabama, saying that the hardest game they played last year was Georgia, and that basically what he's saying is that Clemson wasn't better than them. They out-prepared for them, or whatever he said like that. How much traction has that gotten down there?
You know, Randy, it's kind of funny because when you're here, it's almost like you're kind of in a vacuum, mm-hmm. other than exactly what it is that you're working on and what you're seeing. So that's the first time I have heard that heard about that from Dylan Moses. But it does echo some of the other things that I've heard. It kind of echoes, maybe not quite that bluntly, but you know, one of the things I heard Nick Saban talk about with, you know, he felt like they were, you know, they were out prepared. And that's, I know for him, for a guy who prides himself so much on preparation and for always being prepared, it was one of those things where for him to admit that, hey, maybe we weren't quite as ready to play Clemson as what we should have been, it was a big step forward for him.
Is that a tactic, though, too? Because with Saban, there's always like three or four or five layers to everything that he's saying. Don't you almost feel like maybe that's a way to, if it's at all possible, to try to instill something more in his players? I don't know if it's underdog mentality or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is no doubt. I talked about this this morning with John and Hugh, and that when he rolls up in here every year, he's got an agenda. Now, sometimes his agenda may have something to do with the media. It was funny, a couple of years ago, he kind of got called down by SEC Commissioner Mike Slive during the offseason for kind of being a little surly and I guess having that reputation of being a little uncooperative towards the media. So he started every media session that year thanking the media for the job they do and for what they create. And that has continued every year since for Nick Saban. He always thanks the media for the job that we do, I guess, promoting college football. But there's no doubt. I mean, he comes in here every year with something, some sort of an agenda, and you're exactly right. A lot of times he may be saying it. He may be speaking in generalities as far as we know, but I think it's very specific to what those guys are hearing in that locker room.
What
he wants them to hear.
What was the agenda this year, besides just the potential trying to be an underdog? What was his agenda that he was really trying to hammer home today?
You know, maybe the one thing that I heard him, and again, this is something that every coach has been asked about it. Every coach has addressed it. When talking about the transfer portal, he said, and I'm going to paraphrase it here, but he said the spirit is a positive thing for the players. The spirit of the transfer portal is a positive thing. He said the issue is we've gotten too liberal in giving people waivers, and when we do that, it becomes free agency, and that's not good for the sport. He said there were 65 waivers granted this year. He said he thinks it should be every transfer should have to sit out a year. He said that's the way it's been forever. He said, I don't understand why it should change now. If you want to transfer, that's fine, but you should have to sit out a year.
Wow, Nick speaking the truth. A name you said earlier was Arkansas coach Chad Morris. A rough year last year coming over from SMU. I think his quarterback transferred there this year. Ben, help me out with his name, Chris. The new quarterback over at Arkansas.
Yeah, Hicks.
Yes, Hicks? Thank you, Ben Hicks. Yeah, Ben Hicks comes over from. I mean, he was a hell of a player at SMU. Played for Chad Morris. I mean, I think they were a top 25 recruiting class right now. They're trying to get that thing turned around. But what are the realistic options for them going into the 2019 season, knowing they're in that loaded West?
You know, I think the real challenge that he's facing Randy, and we talked about this some last year, you know, going from that Brett Bielema-style offense, and it was those players have all been recruited by Brett Bielema to play more of a ground-and-pound style of offense. Now here comes Chad Morris. He wants to sling the ball around a little bit. They'll do a lot more zone stuff. He wants those slimmer, faster, more speedy offensive linemen in terms of what he's trying to build there around his offense. So it's not just a matter of trying to, you know, coach guys up necessarily. It's as much about trying to retool an offense as much as it is anything else. He said they played last year with 8 offensive linemen. They went out and signed 6 offensive linemen in their recruiting class this year because he said we knew, you know, we had to have the bodies, and not only did we have to have the bodies, had to have the right bodies in order to be able to do what they wanted to do.
Chris Goforth joining us live from SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama. Day 3 of SEC Media Days today. Have you seen, and maybe it's hard to put it into historical context, I'm sure there's been other really difficult schedules, but have you seen in recent years a schedule as tough as what Texas A&M is going to have to do this year?
Yes, sir.
No. I mean, I think that's brutal. You know, you're talking about having to face the number 1, the number 2, and the number 3 teams in the country this year. In the preseason. I mean, I think, you know, Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia in some combination will be the top 3, and they are all on that roster. I think South Carolina is going to have to face the same thing
this
year.
That's true. Yeah,
that schedule for Texas A&M, to me, that is what – that may be their undoing in terms of how good they can actually be. They may be much better this year than what their record is going to indicate. They're going to be really young defensively. Now, I think they got a lot of guys that have that potential tag on them. I think the ceiling's high, but you're talking about a lot of guys that are really, really inexperienced on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to need a break or two against that schedule to have the kind of success that a lot of people think they should be having right now.
I got a feeling, Chris, because I saw that, and I think they go to Clemson, they come to UGA, and they get Alabama at home. I think those 3 teams, I think Jimbo and his Aggies might be able to pick off one of them.
I mean, it could happen. You know, I feel like Kellen Mond, Randy, right, has got the ability to be a star in this league,
right,
or this conference, but I think he's got to be a much, much bigger piece of their offense. He has got to be – everything now has to go through him. He's got to be that conduit through which everything else flows if Texas A&M is going to have that kind of success and be able to knock somebody off. And apparently somebody's shoplifting from the Belk here at the
get him, Chris. Go get him. Stop him. Vigilante justice.
Tommy Bahama shirts went on sale, Andy. You know how it is.
Go get somebody. Go get him, Chris.
Hey, Chris, we appreciate it as always, man. Great work this week. We'll chat with you again tomorrow as SEC Media Days wraps up. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, Chris.
All right. See you guys.
Chris Goforth live in Hoover, Alabama, where someone is stealing Hawaiian shirts. I can't blame him. It's still hot out. You know, Tommy Bahama shirts are nice this time of year.
Do you have one of those?
I do not. I do not. I do not. But I'd like to get some.
Really?
No. Yeah. Yes.
really?
Hey, Atlanta United supporters, Dukes of Bell going to be broadcasting live from the Gulch parking lot today from 2 to 6:30. Exclusive coverage of Atlanta United versus the Houston match tonight. Bring some Hey Man Ale. Bring some. Bring some yourself. Maybe they'll have some down there, too. And hang out with 92.9 The Game before this, like, BYOB with Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, man.
Come on. Provide your own beer. You guys got your face on the cans.
It's a party.
We'll come back and get to Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal right after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker, Randy McMichael, two brothers from another mother. Only on 92.9 The Game.
Yes, I cry. Yes, I cry.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get back to what's trending, the trending topics of the day. Jason Longshore going to join us in studio at 1:20 as well. And Jason Longshore will hang out in studio for the AMA as well. The Wednesday AMA with Jason Longshore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is Wednesday.
That means 2 out of 3 days this week we've had an AMA guest. Carl on Monday.
Yes.
Jason today. Maybe we get Mike Bell in here on Friday.
No, Mike ain't doing no extra segment.
Oh, yeah, Mike said he wouldn't do an extra 20 minutes.
That's true. I mean, and he's dead serious, though.
I know he is.
He's dead serious. Yeah,
that's true. Well, maybe next week at Falcons training camp, we can get one of the Falcons players to come by and do an AMA with us.
Well, they're usually on the done. They should be done
by then.
They'd
be done by
then. Yeah, they'd be done by
then. Maybe that's something we could pull off. I don't know. It's possible. Anything's possible. All we got to do is ask and try and see if we can get it done. All right, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open, 404-741-0929. You can head to the website, 929thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page, and check out what I thought, and I'm biased, but what I thought was a very interesting conversation earlier today that we had about Max Fried.
Yeah.
And about what his injury means as the trade deadline approaches.
Well, I mean, of course, we're going to get right back into it and what's trending at the top of the hour, but yeah. I mean, who's next?
But if you can't wait for go to the website now and listen to that conversation from earlier.
But yeah, who's next? just tell me who's next.
I don't.
Who's coming from Gwinnett to get bludgeoned next?
I'll tell you who's next.
Who's that?
I'll tell you in 20 minutes.
All right.
But yeah. I know who's next, and you know who's next, too. It's not going to make you very happy, but I'll tell you who it is coming up in 20 minutes. All right. Before any of that, it's time for Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal. Wendy Adams in studio, a bunch of different topics, and some goofy, cheesy game show music. Hey, Wendy.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Now we can start. I'm going to give you guys a topic, and you guys are going to tell me whether it is a big deal, a small deal, or no big deal at all. We'll start with Kirby Smart. So George has been one of the nation's top teams the past couple of seasons, and Coach Smart said Tuesday he expects the Bulldogs to, quote, do more in revealing a slogan for the season. So big deal, small deal, no deal. Georgia Bulldogs' new slogan, do more.
Can I say I don't give a blank?
That would be no deal, Randy.
No deal, Randy.
Seriously, I mean, this is not a new thing amongst sports. Every offseason, there's a slogan, there's something like that.
Do you remember any from when you played?
Hell no, dude.
You don't remember?
There were so many of them. It was a different one every single year. You know, that's what I'm saying. You were like, oh yeah, yeah. You know, that would be your rallying cry. One of my favorites was New Chippy, and it was. Seals came out to San Diego.
Okay.
And everything. If you ever see Philip Rivers, he still wears the hat, phrase. So that was one. But only one.
What was it?
No Chippy. It's
what
like on to the next one. It's like something to do with their missions and stuff.
Oh, okay.
All the stuff.
So you do kind of remember one.
I remember that because that was the last one.
Oh.
Yeah, I ain't have to do that no more.
Did y'all get T-shirts or anything with the slogan
yes,
on it?
Yes, we did.
Oh.
Yeah, Philip got us all, made us all T-shirts.
You still have your shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
See, that's...
Oh, why don't you wear that?
It's somewhere in the in one of them boxes up there.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, that'd be cool. You should wear it.
I mean, but yeah.
We're still looking for a show slogan, by the way.
Yes, we are.
We should get T-shirts.
Right now, we're thinking about Talk More.
Talk more.
It's like do more, but you know, more specifically related to what we do.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's a small deal. I mean, it's not a
year is some a new slogan.
Yeah, there's a new slogan. Yeah. I am one who likes slogans. I, for whatever reason, am corny enough to where that stuff really resonates with me. I love all the stuff Dan Quinn says. I love the Kirby Smart stuff. I was a sucker for Pete Carroll's rah rah stuff when I was in Seattle. I like it. I just do. Type of guy that I am. All right, deal with it.
And if you want to submit a slogan for the show, just do it on Twitter at 929thegame or on the text line
404-741-0929
because I would love T-shirts.
Be respectful.
Please be respectful. This show sucks. We could get T-shirts that say that.
Yeah, we don't need any of that. Well, we're going to stick with SEC Media Days because Texas A&M quarterback Kellen Mond was asked, who is the best quarterback in the SEC? He says, quote, in my opinion, I'm the best one, not just because I'm a confident person, but I actually believe that, close quote. So big deal, small deal, no deal. Kellen Mond is saying he's the best out of all the SEC quarterbacks.
I think it's a big deal that he believes that. That's great. He should believe that. I mean, every quarterback should have that sort of feeling about themselves. And he's really good, too. I mean, it's not like Kellen Mond's some
bum. He's a good player.
Now, it's going to be made into a big deal by...
Yes.
By media types
exactly.
Like Randy McMichael,
like y'all,
who want to blow it out of proportion.
Look at you reading between the lines. I'm gonna give you the radio Randy thing because that's what I am—a radio guy, not a media guy.
Okay,
this is so small, such a small deal. All right, everybody says this when the microphone. Who do you think is the best player? If you don't put yourself in that category, you should get smacked in the mouth with one of the recorders.
Yeah, because you don't do the best.
I always think you're the best.
You're probably not going to be the best. But also, he's not the best.
No, he's not.
Tua Tagovailoa is the best quarterback in the SEC.
He is. Not.
He's not?
No, Jake
Jake's better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope that comes true this season.
Mm-hmm.
Tua's pretty good.
He is.
Yeah. We need to bring the debates back. Yeah, I would love to hear your guys' argument for
really
both quarterbacks.
Good,
I guess the argument against Tua would be when he got hurt, that's when Alabama really kicked it into gear last year against Georgia.
Yeah.
That would be the argument against him.
Yeah.
The argument for him would be, of course, that, you know, he's won every game he started in except for one. And
I love what Kirby said. You beat him, knock out the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that.
That's what they need to do to beat Alabama.
Well, we learned this week also at SEC Media Days that the SEC officials have started a Twitter account just for this season. So big deal, small deal, no deal, that officials in the SEC have a Twitter account with fans to respond to.
Here's why I think it's a big deal.
Why?
Because it's such a bad idea. It's crazy to me that nobody in the SEC offices, whether it was the commissioner or whoever, was like, I don't think we should do this. Like, there's so much groupthink going on over there at the SEC that this actually was allowed to be presented to the public, and that's a big deal.
I think it's a big deal also because who was the brainchild behind this? I mean, lately we've been having some serious, all y'all in the same room and y'all let this get out.
Right.
You know, just dumb.
Not one person.
Not one person raised hands and said, this ain't a good idea.
And they had to work to get it verified.
They did?
Yeah, they have a blue check mark.
You can't get verified anymore.
Not like right away, no.
Are you verified?
I am verified.
That's awesome. Randy's verified.
Andy's very salty.
Is it everybody?
No, not everybody. No.
Yeah, who's not verified, Andy?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not verified.
Is it a big deal, though?
Is it big deal, small deal, no deal that you are not verified?
That's a small deal.
Oh, okay.
It's a big deal to me.
Really make some calls?
Nah, you don't have to do that. Also, who
Randy
are you gonna
make the call?
Who are you going to call? Twitter?
Yeah.
You know Twitter?
I got a guy who knows Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Randy's got a guy who knows Twitter.
Andy secretly wants you to call Randy. Will you do that after the show?
Well, yeah, just give him a call.
Because it's a really big deal. I can tell by your face.
Shoot him a text.
You're like Mike Fulty. We can see the mental strain coming over you.
It'd be cool to have a blue check.
Yeah.
I never understood what was the big deal about it.
Of course you don't.
No, seriously.
I know.
Yeah. Like, what is the big deal about it?
Because you've always had it. You don't know what it's like. You know what it's like to suffer.
The suffer in the no blue check zone.
Yeah. Unverified loser that I am.
All right. We're gonna go outside the world of sports. So if you guys notice your feeds on Instagram or Twitter yesterday, some on Facebook, you notice people were posting photos of themselves with an older face of what they would look like when they're older. Well, it's because of this face app that everyone put on their phones. Well, now there's new concerns on whether the creator of this face app now owns your photos and has information to your privacy. So big deal, small deal, no deal that so many people did this yesterday and so much information could be exposed.
I guess it's a big deal. You don't want people to get your stuff, right?
They have your photos for sure.
Yeah, but my thing is, look, like, it didn't start yesterday.
But they haven't updated the privacy terms
since
2017.
Yeah, okay.
It didn't start yesterday.
If they want to know what you look like, they know what you look like.
When famous people get a hold of something, you know it goes overboard. I haven't done it because, you know, I'm not into stuff like that.
I know.
I don't follow the crowd.
But again,
I'm surprised Wendy hasn't done it.
Oh, no, I didn't want to download that.
You know what I'm saying?
I did it.
That was surprising that Wendy didn't do it.
I did it, but I didn't post it.
Yeah.
I just look
Why
like,
didn't you post it?
I don't know. I just look like Brett Favre.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's all gray.
Really?
Yeah, it's like super gray.
I'm like, I don't really...
I didn't really understand the craze. I don't want to.
Also, why would you want to look older?
Yeah,
that's so funny about you.
Jarvis posted one. He looked rough. I don't think Jarvis is going to look like that when he gets older.
What did he say? He said he was like Bill Cosby? Like you. Really?
No, he said OJ.
Oh,
he said
OJ?
Jarvis looked like OJ. All right, we'll come back and get to what's trending, top of the 1 o'clock hour. Jason Longshore going to join us in half an hour. Thanks, Wendy. I think that segment was a big deal. Right here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. 92.9